AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio waves and on the internet. You can go to the internet right now and log on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. Later today, you will get a rebroadcast up on the internet site. And as always, I ask that you listen to it and also to send it out to family members and friends, because this is how our list of supporters continues to grow. Well, our panel members are here with us. Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store. Larkin Conley, national small business advocate. Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. And also our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash. And our special guest is Curtis Ellis. It's going to be a very, very interesting day. First, before I go to our panel, I want to remind all of you that tomorrow is Flag Day. June the 14th in 1777, the United States flag was authorized by the Congress. The American flag's red and white stripes symbolize hope, purity, respectability, and the blue symbolizes loyalty, sincerity, and justice. Now, the red and white stripes represent the original 13 colonies. The white stars on the blue field represent the individual states that make up the United States of America. And of course, as we know, the flag was created back in 1777 to inspire national unity and to create a special identity from Britain. It was created in the midst of the American Revolutionary War, and it united Americans ever since. So as always, I ask our supporters, our listeners, to fly your flags proudly. Put them up on your lawns. Make sure they stay up there through Labor Day, because we're on rock and roll that nobody would ever believe. We have seen changes in America in the last year plus, and I'm pleased to say we have something to offer the world more than we've had before. And based upon that, I want to remind all of you that there is a link on the front page of our internet site. It says, tell Congress to stop China's U.S. port takeover. And I encourage you to fill that out. I know that a number of you have already done it, told me that you've done it. You told me about the responses that you received. This is what it's all about. We're on a rock and roll situation. And because I know there is someone who is with us today that's been part of all the special events taking place in the country, I'm going to turn first to Curtis Ellis. Curtis, it's open forum. Let us hear the full turkey treatment.
Hey, it's great to be here. You guys are doing a terrific job, and I just can't thank you all enough. You're down there making the changes. President Trump and all of us working with him are simply giving you the opportunity and the tools, and you're picking it up and using it, and that's why the economy is rocking and rolling. In that vein, what we're seeing is the way the American system is supposed to work. You're supposed to, it's private individuals looking out for their own betterment that will make this country great and make it great again. And that's the way it's always worked. Get the government out of the way. The government, it has a perfectly important function, which is to create the conditions so that people can take care of themselves. And if you do that, people will take care of themselves. That's always happened. We're I'm off to Ohio tomorrow. We're going to be with I will be with Vice President Pence. We're doing an event in Columbus talking about the tax cuts and the regulatory reform and the energy reforms and the trade reforms that have really boosted the economy, that have just unleashed the opportunities for everybody so that we can have the growth that we're seeing, have the jobs that we're seeing, have the record low unemployment that we're seeing. And we've been going around the country talking about this, and after getting a break for a couple of weeks, we're back at it again, and I'm very much looking forward to that. You know, the American system of economy, the American economic system, really it's something that's been overlooked. People have forgotten about it. I wrote about this last week in my column at WorldNet Daily. Yeah, from right now there is this debate going on in Washington. Do we need, is it farms versus industry? Farms versus industry. The particular item on the table right now is the biofuel policy and ethanol. We've talked about this before. You have refineries down there in the Philadelphia area and independent refiners in various places around the country that are being killed by the government's biofuel policy, requiring ethanol to be blended into gasoline. The way they manage this program, it's causing independent refiners to go out of business because they have to buy these paper credits, ethanol credits, because nobody can, I mean, a small refiner can't buy ethanol and, you know, get the big mixing vats and the whole thing to actually blend the fuel. So instead they do, it's kind of like a cap and trade system. There's this paper trading system that you can buy virtual ethanol and make believe you blended it and meet the requirements of the government. But what's happened is, these have become so expensive. These paper credits for the virtual ethanol have become so expensive, it's driving the independent refiners out of business. So anyway, President Trump and senators came to an agreement, a compromise that would save the refiners and still boost the use of ethanol. But anyway, and that's still up in the air, but the point is, that's the latest iteration of this ongoing debate that's been happening since before we even became an independent nation of, does America need industries or can we get by on farms? We also see it today when President Trump talks about tariffs and putting tariffs, more than talks about it, actually is started to move to put tariffs against China and tariffs on steel and aluminum. In order to preserve our industry here at home. And the farm state senators, some of them are like, oh my gosh, this is going to hurt the farmers. These countries are going to stop buying wheat and corn and soybeans from us. And this goes back to the earliest days of the Republic when Thomas Jefferson initially thought America would be a nation of farmers. But George Washington and Alexander Hamilton said, no, we need to have an industrial sector as well. We need to have manufacturing as well. And in fact, the people working in manufacturing will be able to buy stuff from the farmers. So it's good for everybody. Andrew Jackson said the same thing, that the more people we have working in workshops and trades and various professions, that will constitute a healthy market, a rich market for the farmers. So they'll have somebody to sell their goods to.
For 200 years, that worked very well.
It did. It worked very well. And, you know, it's funny, all of these people who get all in a lather when President Trump proposes tariffs, they say, well, you know, we know that tariffs aren't good. You get all these instant expert pundits on TV, and you get these others, economists, academic trained economists saying, well, we know that tariffs are bad and tariffs don't work. Well, excuse me, China has higher tariffs than us, and their economy is booming. So, you know, how can you say tariffs don't work? But and then you look at China and everybody's like drooling, wishing we could be as prosperous, you know, as growing and have as robust economy as China does. So it makes no sense. The American system of economics, which was founded by Alexander Hamilton and Henry Clay and John Calhoun and Abraham Lincoln, they said you use tariffs to encourage domestic industry and put it on a level playing field with the foreign industries, which are often subsidized or at least have the economy of scale of being mature. You know, they can produce 100,000 widgets a day, and our startup industries aren't up to that level yet. And if you're producing 100,000 a day, you have the economy of scale. You can sell them cheaper than if your workshop's only turning out 10 a day. So until you get up to that point of 100,000, your industries need some protection. They need some so they can be nurtured and get up to that economy of scale. And that's what the and you invest in infrastructure so that you have the ports and you have the roads to encourage trade, to make trade possible. You can't trade if you can't get it off, if you can't get your goods either off the farm or out of the factory and, you know, get the raw materials into the factory. So you need infrastructure to do that. You need roads and ports and things like that. So the American system, which was developed a long time ago, proposed that, whereas the British were talking about this utopian scheme of free trade. Just let everybody trade, basically erase the borders. So that there will be free flow of goods and everybody will get along and they'll be trading with each other. And that was actually a scheme to help the British industries. But I don't want to get too far into this. But the American system works. President Trump is going right back to the roots of America with his policies. And we're starting to enjoy the fruits of it. We're seeing it. We're seeing it every day. With
every day, it's and every day is a historic day. I'll be very honest with you, Rich. How did you enjoy the historic events of the last 2 days?
Well, good morning, Michael, and everybody, and Curtis. Thanks so much again for being here. Well, you know, Michael, I got a couple things that I actually want to bring up, and in no order of priority. So here's what I'll say about the North Korea summit. I would encourage everybody to go watch that scene in The Godfather when Marlon Brando, Don Corleone is in the room with the five families. And they all come to an agreement. Everybody has to give a little bit up that they don't want to give up. But ultimately, there's a meeting of the minds. The goal is achieved. But then at the end of it, the Don stands up and he says, we made a deal. I'll keep my word and I expect all of you to keep your word. But if you don't, then hell, you have not seen the wrath and fury that will come your way. I think that's exactly, Michael, what I think happened in North Korea. Americans don't want another war, right? You guys want another war? Who wants another war? I heard Shane's 21. Shane, you want another war? We've been in Afghanistan since you were in the womb, kid.
Yeah, no, I think I'll pass on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, so we don't want another war, Michael. So I think it's a great first step. But again, let's just keep that in mind with the Godfather. So that's my first part. The second thing I want to mention. All of us, I think, Curtis, I'm sorry, I'm not aware. Are you a dad? Are you a dad yourself?
No.
Oh, so you're the smartest one in the entire panel. You and Shane. Shane, you're not a dad, are you?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so you two are the smartest. You guys are the smartest people on this call right on this show right now. To all the dads out there, Michael, for all of us others here, crazy guys who are fathers, I want to say, I'm going to talk today on my podcast about this. You know, we got to give dads a little bit more love, Michael. You know, I think it's going to be the coming years. I really believe it. It's going to be the comeback of the dad. No one cares about dad. You know, Henry knows, Michael, Mark, no one cares about dad. You know, I mean,
I don't know. I got a couple hugs this morning when I dropped my kids off. I don't know about you.
The kids will turn us upside down, shake the change out of our pockets when they need money, right? I'll be sitting in a wheelchair. They'll turn me upside down, get the quarters out. I need a couple quarters to get over the, you know, Ben Franklin Bridge. So I just want to say to all the dads out there how, and the moms are just as valuable. Let me not leave them out. But dads are so important. Larkin on the show always talks about the breakdown of the family. And that's a near and dear issue for me, as you guys know, when it comes to our youth and what I believe, how I believe that the youth are indoctrinated into anti-Americanism that we have to combat. And we have to reverse that for the future for people like Shane's generation and when Shane has kids, because otherwise we're truly in danger, of losing the country if we don't reverse it, not just with the next generation, but with the millennials. And then the last thing, Michael, I want to say in this open forum is that I sent you guys a message the other day where I was reading about it was a study done from the National Federation of Independent Businesses. And most people don't know that group. I kind of follow them as a business owner. They've been doing this a long time, nonpartisan. They call it as they see it. And they just released a study based on interviews and conversations with small business owners that small business optimism, plans for expansion, plan for growth, it's at the highest level in 34 years in small business. 34 years, Laura. 34 years, Curtis. That's a long time. That's been a long, long time. So things are moving in the right direction with small business. And Larkin knows this as well as anyone here. Show us a healthy and thriving small business climate in the U.S., and we'll show you a healthy economy.
Right. Exactly right. And today, with all of the things going on the Internet, whether it's on the Internet or purchasing items at store, we need to see more American-made labels on those products so more moms and dads and sisters and brothers and cousins can all have a job in America. That's what I think is happening in America. I saw at the G7 meeting the other day that the days of tiptoeing around are coming to an end. Those people just want us to continue to pay the bill, act like everything is fine, and it happened in the United Nations and all the other groups, NATO. They want everybody to pay the bill, America mainly, and they'll just come in and do what they feel like they should be doing and acting like big deals. That's over. We have to look out for America first. What do you say to that, Mark?
Hello, guys. Mike, I'm all fired up. I'm guilty of loving America. A flag day, Mike, like you started with, I just did a flag retreat ceremony for our Erie County Fair that's been around 179 years only, and we're honoring a veteran every day at our fair this year, 12 days. And at 6:30, we're going to honor and give them a 100% Made in America flag and do the color guard and everything. So a lot going on. That flag, I'm with veterans every day. See the buses, all the time, Mike. And that flag means everything to those who served and don't, fly that flag all the time. And Flag Day is a big day tomorrow, but it should be flown and respected all the time. And a lot of people don't realize 50% of our flags are made overseas. I'm with the top brass of Annan Flag and Valley Forge. So, Mike, hats off for bringing up Flag Day tomorrow. Very important day, but it should be flown and respected always. Curtis, hats off for what you do and supporting our great president. You talked about tariffs. And David Hurley owns Kitchen Craft. Kitchen Craft is waterless cookware that's been sold since 1906 in the country. David Hurley, you would love, Curtis, and the crew. He was a forward advisor in Vietnam at the age of 16, lied about his age, and went in. He thought that would be a better life, running around with a radio with an 8-foot antenna 7 miles ahead of our troops to tell them where the enemy was. But Dave flew in last week. Great, great guy, and he's always positive, probably the most positive guy I've met. And he took Kitchen Craft, which is sold in 4,000 shows a year, he does, and he builds it in Wisconsin with all World War II equipment that was converted to make his cookware. And then the mill that produces the seven-layer steel, which is an awesome video if you look up Kitchen Craft, and the mill that processes the stainlesses, 304, 316, the aluminum, it has to be all rolled and forged together and pressed together to make one process off the coils. Well, he came up last Thursday, and he showed me a tough text that the mill was closing in Canonsburg, PA, outside of Pittsburgh, and he said, I got this text this morning. I said, what are you going to do, Dave? He said, well, do what we can, but we have no material. Well, later that day last Thursday, Curtis, you'll love this, our president made the difference because the text came from the president of the mill and said, no, with the new tariffs applied to the imports and that, we are going to keep this mill open. We are going to continue to make your product, Dave Hurley. And thank you, because nobody else could do that process, seven layers. So, Curtis, hats off to the new movement, the president, and all the leadership going on, because it's not lip service. It's making a difference. And I just want to tell you that if you can pass that, Dave Hurley is somebody you should meet at some point. Awesome, awesome man.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh, that's an amazing story. Please, Mark.
I'm telling you, when I heard that, he showed me, he's like me, he can take every hit there is. I said, Dave, what are you going to do? Because 2 years ago, they went on strike, and he didn't have material for 1 year. That's a problem when you're making a product.
Yeah.
He does 4,000 shows a year. If you look up Kitchen Craft, it's a number one waterless cooking cookware. It's just awesome, top quality. And we're the first retail store that he chose, and it's all on his dime, and he just hired three cooks for us to promote it. So, yeah, that's something, Curtis, you want to look into. Rich, Father's Day, I got four children. You know, it's great. I had children for a reason. Love my kids, and they love me back. So it's a big, big day coming up. And I can't say enough for Trump's leadership with dealing with North Korea. And he's just not lip service. He gets the job done, and nobody's respected or liked him, the media at all. And this guy is tough. Just hats off in what he's done in a year and a half.
You know, you're right, Mark. And one of the reasons, one of the reasons the media, some of the media dislike him is because he is showing them exactly what was wrong for the last 30, 40 years when presidents, national leaders, House Republicans, House senators, House Democrats did nothing to guard the American economy. So now this guy comes in. It's a new sheriff in town. And I work with a lot of Republicans and Democrats, so I have respect for both parties when they are focused on helping the people. President Trump is helping Democrats, Republicans, young people, old people, in between. He made it very understood that we are all Americans.
Yeah, you're seeing a businessman at work, though, a true leader and an entrepreneur who takes a beating every day, because most people don't know what a businessman that came from nothing and doesn't have the money, you know, what we go through. But to see his leadership and his focus with all the rock throwing, and it's just incredible to me.
Such a waste of our time. I'd like to see that media spend that time making sure that people know how they can help one another. Where is Polish or American or Irish or whatever clothing sold so that we can make a 50-50 balance?
Yeah,
I want to welcome clothing from all over the world. I want to welcome products from all over the world, and I want the rest of the world to welcome American products. It's a 50-50 balance. We want to see everybody. Then we're involved in. Then we're really a global economy. Larkin, tell me, what's on your mind?
Good morning, everybody. Michael, Curtis, welcome back. Mark and Rich, Henry, and all of our listeners. Well, I hung up from the phone from last week. I'm sorry, Curtis, you weren't here, but I was a bad boy. I was kind of not in a very good mood, and I talked turkey is what I did. Pretty angry. Michael suggested that I go take happy pills. And I did. I'm back on the happy pills, but it hasn't done me a whole heck of a lot of good. I'm amazed at the reaction in two respects. First of all, I think the press, regardless of which side of the fence you're on, from the left all the way through the right and the conservative press, I think they've all backed off a little bit. They certainly haven't given Donald Trump credit for what he accomplished this week. And they have sent a handful of their minions out to make these offhanded remarks that, well, you know, what did we get for what we gave up and blah, blah. Well, he met them for 2.5 hours, and they couldn't settle every problem that we had. But I applaud Donald Trump. He is not the slightest bit conventional, and that's exactly why he's president. And that's exactly what the progressives and the liberals can't get right. They just don't understand it. This country looked at Washington, D.C. and said the status quo is not sustainable. We want change. And they are in the throes of some of the most outrageous change that this government has gone through. And to this point, I'd love if Donald Trump spoke a little bit softer and didn't carry as big of all that. But listen, I've been taught at a very, very early age when I got into the free enterprise world, we talk about results around here. Not personalities, not the way people say things, not how cute they are. I concern myself with results. And I think what the economy is going through, how he has challenged everybody from NATO to NAFTA, I do worry a little bit about the national debt. I think we all understand that the USA is approaching very quickly, approaching $15 trillion, and we're the biggest debtor nation in the world. And if you add up China, Japan, and Germany, who are the three countries behind us with large debt, those three don't equal what we owe the world. That concerns me. I think the idea that China has $300 billion invested in real estate in this country, not that they're leasing or renting. This is real estate they own. They own $300 billion of commercial and residential real estate, and they are spending money in this country buying and building in the real estate sector in unprecedented rates. And I just want to ask Curtis, how much of China does America own?
None. None. Any investment in China has to be with a majority Chinese partner. Everything we invest over there has to have a 51% Chinese partner. So,
yeah.
Yep. They talk about reciprocal. I mean, that's what President Trump talks about. He wants reciprocal trade. We'll do to you what you do to us. Kind of like the golden rule. Sort of like that.
Yeah, right. It is related. The national debt and it's all related. And the fact that we keep on buying things and supporting things and investing money, we are essentially broke. Our national debt represents almost 94% of our GDP.
That's right.
That's a scary...
That's right. You're right, Larkin. In fact, if we took in every penny that we had through all the tax collection systems for the federal government, we would not be able to pay down the national debt, because that has to go through to pay the bills, to operate the country. There's no way to do it. There is some positive happening. The more industries that open in America, the more taxes that are circulated through the system, it will help slow down that runaway train of the national debt. We're over $20 trillion at this point in debt. It's historic. It's slowed down some, but it's $20 trillion when you look at the national debt. A lot of the Chinese or whoever all over the world, they think it's great that we're going deeper into debt, because the trade deficit to them is not going to be addressed, and they will be able to maintain control of our economy as long as we continue to owe them money. We have borrowed money from China and many other countries. How can you live like that?
Can't the tariffs be applied to that?
Well, this is all, and Curtis, I think, could probably put a better bow on this, but this is all related to governments lending money. Our largest debtor is, I think, ourselves. Is that right, Curtis? I think we owe more money to the National Treasury. But it's frightening to think that 47% of our debt right now, 47, that's almost half of our debt, is owed to China.
Is borrowed. It's really frightening that we had, you know, we could have, by the way, for people to know, we could have gone to our own insurance companies, people that have a lot of capital in the USA, and borrowed that money. But they didn't want to do it because they wanted us to borrow from somebody else, because they know that America was starting to go on the decline and not real good at paying debts. You agree with that, Curtis?
Exactly. Look, we did war bonds. We did U.S. savings bonds, ask people to invest, to basically lend money to the government. We don't do that anymore. Rather, Wall Street and foreign countries like China, we turn to them, and they end up making money on the deal. One thing just keep in mind, I just want to just add to the mix here, considering that China owns 47% of our debt, there's a positive side to that too. In a sense, we have them over the barrel. if the American economy becomes a basket case, they never get paid back. So there's in a way that I'm not counseling that we go into hock to China, but it's not. There is a way to use it to use jujitsu on China with that. I mean, they can't. They want to get paid back. If they were to dump all of their treasury notes on the market, they would take a loss because it would drive down the price of that which they hold. So they can't. We're in this together in a way, and it's a bit of a wrestling match as to who has the upper hand because of this debt. I don't think it's a healthy thing, but it's not like we are totally at their mercy. A good negotiator and a skilled operator understands that owing them money kind of puts you in the driver's seat. And you remember Donald Trump went bankrupt a couple times, and the banks that owned held the notes on his casinos and whatnot, they ended up helping him out because they did not want to see him fail. So there's another side to that. To that situation.
Now, the thing, Curtis, that I thought was very impressive is Trump, when he met with the president of China, he said that I want you to buy another $200 billion worth of American products. And the Chinese president agreed. He said, yes, we'll do that to bring down the trade deficit. Now, that's something that should have been done for years. The second it went $1 over the trade deficit, it should have already been discussed by our leaders, not only the president, but all of the leaders, the 535 people we pay nice money to in Washington to do a job. They should have already been hitting the roof. Instead, they sat quiet and did nothing. Curtis, I'm going to ask you, can you give us an update on this port situation in California?
Well, thanks to everybody's vocal intervention, it has been held up for the moment. We haven't seen the deal was supposed to go through in June, and we're now almost halfway through the month, and nothing has happened. So it's being reviewed. Just to fill everybody in, you said at the top of the show, a Chinese company, shipping company, is buying out a rival which owns a concession to operate the port of Long Beach, California. And this would give a Chinese government-owned enterprise operational control of the port of Long Beach, California. And this, of course, raises some concerns over national security and the ownership of American infrastructure by a foreign rival. So it's being reviewed by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, a interagency panel of the federal government that reviews things like this for national security concerns. They may well require the Chinese to divest this. They can buy the shipping company, but they can't run our ports.
Very good. Now, someone asked me, Curtis, for the record, why are you concerned about it? I said, well, you're in Philadelphia and you work on the port of Philadelphia. Would you rather have that owned by a foreign country, or would you have it managed by entities here in the Philadelphia area? Well, naturally, I said, it's the same thing in New York or anywhere else. We don't need and want foreigners to come in and take over our investments or any of our ports. What happened in a lot of the stores, for people's knowledge, as I go in, I question a lot of stuff. I talk to managers. And by the way, many of the stores where a lot of Chinese products are sold or featured, they have investments in those stores. So they really control what is being sold in that store, the supplies that are on the shelf. Most people don't know that because they do things very quietly and they're focused and consistent on what they do. But I ask questions, who are the majority investors in different, even furniture stores, clothing stores. It's unbelievable. We have to become a little smarter about ourselves. We're too docile for too long, and now it's time to really get off our high horse and start to be really the Americans that we were supposed to be from day one. And by the way, too many elected leaders and even some community organizations wanted to divide Americans by race, color, creed, and national origin for years. It was almost like a business in itself. We can't allow that to happen anymore. Most Americans don't want to hear that type of negative conversation anymore. We're people of many nationalities living in the greatest country on earth. We salute one flag, we have one national anthem, and we live in a country where love of your neighbor should always be our main focus. Mark, that's been your agenda from the day you opened up your store. You want to add something to that?
Yeah, no, you know, it's just true. We're Americans. I just had another bus before I came on the show from Castle, PA. I got another one later from Iowa. You know, we always talk to these people, and no matter what color, race, I always said all lives matter, and we're all Americans. One team, one goal. I'm focusing on the positive here. At my manager's meeting, we got 19 managers Monday. Focus on the positive. Why focus on the negative? And you get so much more results. And, Mike, you just hit it. You couldn't have said it better. It's about America. And it's exciting times, though, if you let it happen. Rich, you brought up many times where a lot of people don't want to see this. They get so negative, they don't even want to see it happening. It's exciting right now. A lot going on. Made in America matters. Made in America is cool again. And people can make a difference. It's amazing how it's just common sense. My new T-shirt coming out. Buying American is plain and simply common sense. I've had people from China, Japanese, Vietnam. They all agree, support the country you live in. Curtis, what you were just talking about with China and whatnot, China's the factory of the world. America is the consumer of the world. It's that simple. It'll be Vietnam next. We've got to change that in the philosophy and the way people think and shop. It's a culture change we need. We got to buy top-quality products, and Americans make top-quality. Mike, we always said it. We want 50-50 fair trade. You support our veterans, you fly our flag, and you fly it with pride. Patriotism is cool again, and Made in America is cool again, and building things and working with your hands is cool again. So it's all good.
It's all good. It is all good. You know, Curtis, I'm so pleased, I have to tell you, that you brought this to everyone's attention about this situation in California. Many people did not know about it, and I'm really pleased that people went and they signed the petition and got a response from their most local congressmen and their most local representatives. This is what we're missing in America. Instead of the national news media bringing this to our attention, it's got to be done by small voices who are becoming bigger voices like ourselves. If it wasn't for you, it wouldn't have been known.
Yeah, and that's an awesome comment. Curtis, thank you, and our whole radio team, thank you. But, Curtis, you bring things up, and we try to be consistent with our message, raise awareness, and educate. Once you brought that up, I've told however many people they can't believe something like that's happened. I think there's so much hidden behind the scenes that they want to hide, but the more we expose it, the more then people get up and react because they can't believe it's going on and they didn't hear about it.
Yeah, the media is busy telling us about very important things like how much they hate President Trump.
Yeah, and that's the plan, right? You can't say it's not a plan.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting. I was reading something in researching researching my latest column on the American system of economics. I was reading Abraham Lincoln's chief economic advisor was this fellow named Henry Carey, C-A-R-E-Y. And he was the architect of Lincoln's economic policy of the American system. And what he said is he contrasted this American system of using tariffs to protect strategic industries, to encourage and develop strategic industries in America. He contrasted that to the British system of so-called free trade, laissez-faire, just let anybody sell to anybody. And what he said, and it just popped out, what you said, Mark, reminded me of this. He said the British want to create a system where Britain is the workshop of the world, and the rest of the world are the customers and the suppliers of raw materials. And that indeed was the British vision. When we were colonies, they thought that the natural order of things is that the 13 American colonies would send food and timber and raw materials to Britain, and its industries would make these into manufactured goods and sell them back to the colonies. And so it's a colonial system, this idea of open free trade. And now, instead of Britain being the workshop of the world, the big boys on Wall Street and everywhere else that graduate with MBAs from Harvard and all they understand is pushing paper, they'll tell you blithely that, oh, China's the workshop of the world. And we're going to be, you know, dog walkers, massage therapists, and, you know, sell them soybeans and corn or something. But so, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. 250 years ago, Britain was going to be the workshop of the world, and we'd all be happy buying goods from them and selling them our natural resources. Now they're telling us the same story, except that China will be the workshop of the world, and we're supposed to just accept that as an inevitability. Abraham Lincoln and his people realized you can change the game. It is not a metaphysical truth. It's not God's will that we have to buy everything from China or Britain or anywhere else. We can make things ourselves. And that was the other great insight that Henry Carey had, and he wrote in black and white. He said, remember, every consumer is also a producer. We are producers as well as consumers. So when you hear people talk about, oh, these tariffs are going to raise prices for American consumers, well, it's also going to give American consumers jobs. So they will be American producers, and they'll have the money to buy things. If we don't have jobs and we're not producing something, or if we're not producing something so we have jobs, we're not consumers. It's not a one-sided, you know, every coin has two sides, right? And we are, every time you hear somebody say consumer, think producer. We are producers as well as consumers, or else we ought to be, we better be, otherwise we're all going to be consumers only on welfare and food stamps.
Right, and government doesn't have any more money to give for right. Welfare yeah. And food stamps. Exactly. That game has been over many, many years ago, but no one's been able to accept the reality of it in Washington. They've just continued to act as though this is an endless, you know, river where it just could flow. The money will flow down and we'll gobble it up like gobbling up fish. It's not going to happen this way. Rich, I know that you have been involved in many business aspects over the time. How do you see the business situation changing here in America?
I mean, Michael, my clients, you know, my customers at RJL are predominantly small businesses. We've got some mega international conglomerates as well, but the majority are small business owners or people who work at small businesses. And I will just, from my personal experience, back up what I believe this National Federation of Small Businesses finding I mentioned earlier. I'm going to back up that what they're saying I believe is accurate. And right on this show, I mean, we've got Mark, right? I've told this to Mark. It was his birthday last week, so he didn't want to tell us that.
Happy birthday, Mark.
I want to wish Mark a belated happy birthday as a fellow dad to dad.
Still a lot, Mark.
And Mark, I said to him, I said, I'm so happy that you feel like expansion is going in the right direction, that you're busy, that contracts are coming back. And I'm hearing, Michael, many of the same similar things. Now, owning a business, even in a good economy, it's a tough gig to own a small business. It's like that old joke by the comedian Jim Gaffigan where he says, what's it like to have four kids? And he says, imagine you're drowning and someone hands you a baby. You know, sometimes it's got that feeling to it. But it's, in the end, it's worth it. When small business, when that market, when that climate is thriving and optimistic and feeling like things are moving in the right direction. Because sometimes, Michael, you know, we work and work and work, and it's a little tough to get out of bed some days. I mean, it's just the reality of it. But when business owners feel like the climate in the country economically is on their side, it's an even greater motivator. And I'm telling you guys, that's what small businesses, the ones I know, are feeling like right now.
You're absolutely right, Rich, that you're saying what I'm hearing from the business people that I go in to talk to. I want to see what's been happening with them in the last 3-4 years. I'm promoting National Small Business Weekend. I'll be promoting soon in November as American Made Month. I'm trying to get the people enthused about more of what we're doing with the Buy American Made campaign. Still the big problem, Curtis, is a lot of the merchandisers want to continue to push the foreign-made stuff, even though American-made products of the same quality are made here in the USA, same type, because the foreign-made stuff brings them bigger dollars.
Yeah, it's all about the dollar, Mike.
Everything is the dollar bill.
Curtis opened up with, though, the president and knew what's going on now. These conditions are getting better. We just want to be left alone and do our things, not more rocks or compliance and regulations and things to make it harder. The entrepreneur like Trump, we can take it, but it's like, where are you going? I used to have stress with the survival mode, but now I've got stress finding employees, too much work. These are great, great times, and the change is here, and it should be talked about, and they're hiding it because they don't want to make them look any.
Mark, you're right. And by the way, everybody I speak to has a complaint.
They're hiding it.
They're complaining about America's education system. While other countries are going out of their way to train their people, their young people, for a dozen and one jobs, we downsized our trades, our industrial arts, everything in America, and that's really what come back to haunt us now. As the economy is improving, they're still talking about the need to bring in all these visa'd people to fix these machines that we bought from Japan and all, because enough American young people don't have the means to fix those L trains and things like that. That doesn't make sense to me.
And it's not their fault, Mike. They were never exposed to it, never suggested they should learn it. It was treated like doing drugs. The stigma has to be lifted, and it is being lifted, and it's a good thing. We've got to get the metal shops, wood shops back in school, give these kids an opportunity. It can't be one size fits all. Calculus in eighth grade is great if you like it, but if it's not your passion, let's get them, let's expose them to other things.
Yes, you know.
So that comment you had, Michael, is so relevant. This morning, the chairman of the board, founder of LinkedIn, was on talking about a survey that they had done about employment and the condition of the employment market for graduates this year. And his comment was that there are 6.35 unemployed people. That's the employment percentage in this country right now, 6.35. And he's got legitimate reports that the available job market right now is 6.7. And the complaints they're getting from the people that are hiring is they can't find qualified people to fill these positions.
Absolute truth.
And, you know, as we're talking about graduation season and what LinkedIn and all the others are talking about, I'm urging every person who's listening, whether you have a job, you're going to look for a new job, or you have a new graduate in the family, make up a resume, because your resume really promotes who you are and what job skills you have to offer. And consider, when you're making that resume, would you want to hire yourself? And what exactly would you be putting yourself up to be hired for? This is a problem in America. It's not being discussed in our schools. It's not being discussed in any of the job fairs. The job fairs come, the people bring their resumes, they go. There's very little follow-up, very little attention to it. It has to be done in the junior high and the high school level so that people are forced to make a resume by the time they're in ninth grade, so they know themselves who they are. Larkin, you did it. I'm sure Rich, you did it. And Mark, you did it. You know who you were from a teenager. You knew what you wanted to do. A lot of these people are graduating, and that's why they're saying there are 6 million open jobs and 6 million people looking for jobs, but they don't match. There's no match for the 6 million.
Yeah. Yep. And I had great parents that put up with me, Mike, you know, taking apart batteries, burning up the rug with acid, you know, all that crazy stuff. But my mother was put on a bus at the age of 5, given up from her family to the county. My father was poor. He signed her out of the home. So nobody can say you can't do it.
It can be done in America. Absolutely.
The can-do spirit isn't an American.
And by the way, this is a good opportunity for me to say Happy Father's Day to everybody in the audience and Grandfather's Day. It's my little Gabriella, my granddaughter's birthday today. My congratulations to her dad, Andrew. It's so many things that we have. Please, can be proud of the things that are happening in America. I'm asking all of you to go out of your way to buy something American-made to give to dad or granddad this year. When I tell you my family, they really know that I want something American made, or don't bring it to me. Take me out and buy me a pizza or something. I'd rather that, because I least know the pizza and the hoagies are made in the USA. But don't just pick up things because it looks good. Make sure it has an American made label for Father's Day. Pick up that flag, put it out there so that it's out there tomorrow and throughout the season. We are rocking and rolling. Do you agree with that, Larkin?
Yes, absolutely. And I will tell you that, you know, our government, our business world, our cultural world, all of it pretty much runs on perception. It's how people perceive things. That's why we have political pundits that show people how to run. And we've so successfully run on stuff that we know we're never going to do if we're elected. But perception is the big thing. And right now, perception is high. The confidence level of small businesses right now is pretty high. And they're hiring, and they're not afraid. The guy next door that cuts the grass for just about all of my neighbors, he comes here and spends 3 hours, and boom, he's gone. But I cut my own grass because I'm still crazy. But I was talking to him. And I said, oh, you're not by yourself today. And he said, I can't be by myself anymore. He said, I've hired two guys, and I'm looking for a third, but I can't find a third guy. And I said, are you paying minimum wage? And he said, you can't pay minimum wage down here. I mean, Florida's is on the bottom wage-wise as you can probably get in the country, but I've got to pay 10, 12, 14 bucks to get anybody that's going to come in and give me a hard day's work. So, yes, the answer to your question is enthusiasm is up. The question is, what Trump has left us with is the perception that things are getting better and they're going to be better, and he is going to fight for us in our corner, and he's going to straighten out trade, and he's going to get nukes out of the peninsula. I mean, he's doing all the right things, and that creates the perception that things are positive.
It, and Larkin, maybe think people that had free things before anyway don't see the change. But if you're struggling businessmen that hard-headed, won't go bankrupt and want to survive and care about livelihoods, we're seeing the change.
Yes, yes. Well, gentlemen and ladies, I want to thank all of you for tuning in today. It has been a very good open forum. Curtis, I want to say thank you again for giving us the update as to what's happening in about that China situation. And if you have not signed the campaign, go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the link that has the American and Chinese flag. The bottom line is we simply don't want outside countries controlling America. We're not allowed to do that over there. Why should we allow that here in the United States? And also remember, we need people in America to work from the point of production to the point of sale. When you're out celebrating now and during the summer season, see what you can do to talk to the young people in your family, because America needs lots of employees at lots of levels, and it's up to us to show respect for every job that we have right here in the USA. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Curtis. Thank you, Larkin. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Mark. And it's nice to have Shane in the studio. Thank you to Henry Chaplinsky. And thank you to all of you that are going out to spread the word about the Buy American Made campaign. Your efforts are really showing fruit. You'll receive an update on the internet today if you're on our e-list. And if you'd like to hear the rebroadcast of the show, you can go on in about 2 hours and click on the Listen Anytime link. Have a great one until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday. Best wishes. Fly that flag proudly.
Happy Father's Day.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Coming up.